good stuff. Now that the relationship of dry and wet could come together, and now it become fertile. If it was all dry, powder cake. If it was all water, it was smush. It was nothing. Nothing would happen. But when you put the dry and you put the wet and you start mixing them together in the proper relationship, I'm here to tell you that depletion after you bring forth comes back into existence with relationship. Anything that's been depleted can be restored with relationship. Anytime your life is depleted, you can always come to God and have a relationship with God. And God knows how to restore everything life has taken from you. But if you have no relationship with Him and you've not separated yourself from the things of the world, then He can't restore you until you come unto Him. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will restore what the world has taken out of you. Whew. When the waters were separated from the earth and dry ground appeared, then conception of the wet and the dry allowed each other to bring forth after their own kind. And what God had divided was now coming back together. Right? He divided it. Now it's coming back together, but in the right relationship. In the right relationship. Had it been all water, it would remain void. Had it been all land, it would have been dry as a powder house. But when they have the right relationship, the balance between the wet and the dry, that seed can germinate. And it'll bring forth every time. Had it been all darkness, nothing would have happened. Had it been all light, then the land would have been parched. But because He separated light from darkness, it brought forth seasons. And seasons, things bring forth in their own time. He commanded all things then to multiply, be fruitful, and fill the earth and the seas. Then God created man out of the dust. That's what He said. The dust of the earth, the ground, the clay. Adam means red clay. Got a lot of atoms around here. I'm telling you, you could make some atoms. Red clay. A lot of red clay. And He built Adam. He made Adam in His own likeness. And Adam was made out of the dust of the earth. But woman came out of His bleeding side. The first blood shed was Adam's blood. As God opened up his side, and it said, and He sewed him back up. He was the first surgeon. And out of his side, Brother Johnson, came a bloody, wet woman out of a dry man. And when the union of what he took out, wet and dry, what came out of his side, and Adam that came out of the dust comes together, guess what? Conception appears. I don't know if I'm too deep for y'all this morning, but conception appears. Hallelujah. So God created the man and the woman, and He told them to replenish and multiply. The union between a man and a woman, God called husband and wife. It wasn't Adam and Steve, it was Adam and Eve. And they got married, the Bible says, and had children. And the seed was inside of each of them. And when Adam's seed met Eve's seed, then conception would occur. And when conception occurs, the bringing forth is inevitable. And as far as I can tell, and the Bible doesn't give us a lot of descriptions, but it appears that Adam and Eve had no children as long as they were in the garden. But when they were kicked out of the garden, when they fell in the garden, a desire to bring forth children was planted in the minds of Adam and Eve. Maybe they didn't want to have any. Maybe God wasn't letting them have any. But in the scheme of God's plan, knowing that they would fail, He knew they would replenish the earth. And the Lord told the serpent, He said, I'm going to put strife or enmity between thee and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and you're going to bruise its heel. But I'm going to divide Adam. I'm going to divide the Adam, and out of Adam will come his bride, and the union of these two seeds is going to bruise your head. Somewhere down the road, I'll meet you again. So in sorrow, he said to the woman, he said, I'm going to multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire, don't miss this, shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. In sorrow, this woman, Eve, will bring forth her children. And I'm here to tell you, when she brings them forth, it will deplete her. It will begin to deplete her. It will deplete her emotionally. It will deplete her physically. It will deplete her in every way. The Bible says that when a woman delivers a child, both the child and the mother are brought nigh unto death. Both of them got to be delivered. We talk about delivering the baby. It's really the mama that's delivered. Delivered from death. And in pain, she will travail to bring forth her children. It will take so much out of her that she may say, and I've heard this before. I mean, it's like when my wife, we had our first one. I think it was the first one. I know I was getting lots of sermons while she was in labor. I was taking, oh, that'll preach, you know. I could watch the monitor. Oh, you're fixing to get another contraction. She said, I know that. You don't need to tell me that. I know that. But I didn't know that. I was watching the... And she sat there in labor, and I mean, crying. And in comes this lady. They wheel her in there. She's laying down, reading a book right in front of her. And she's, my wife, screaming and hollering. She's reading a book. They take her in for delivery. She comes out. She's still reading that book. I promise you. And my wife is still screaming. And I said, this ain't fair, God. This isn't fair. It was taking a lot out of her. And you ask her at that moment, you ready to have another one? Who are you kidding? I'll never do this again. You got to be joking for me to go through that process of bringing forth. A woman travails, they said, but when she sees that child, she begins to, in time, she forgets all the sorrow and the pain of the bringing forth. It depletes you to bring forth. It depletes you to bring forth children and even into the house of God. It takes some time. It takes your time. It takes effort. And she'll travail in pain. It takes a lot out of her. But after a while, watch this. After a while, I ain't never doing this again. I don't want to, blah, 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 blah. And after a while, Eve says, well, you know, I was just thinking. See, her desire shall be to her husband. What do you think about? Maybe we should, you know, one, two, three. Maybe we ought to. All of a sudden, this desire comes back. I've ate till I didn't want to see another pizza. I've thrown up pizza. I said, I'll never eat another pizza. I shouldn't have said that. Because after a while, that desire comes back. Her desire, what he's saying is that she can't have a child without him. Hello. Go marry another woman, you won't have a child. Man marry a man, you won't have a child. It's not God's plan. God's plan was reproduce and multiply and be fruitful. Yeah. And so her desire shall be to him. It ain't going to happen. Let's two of them come together. And so they will bring forth. And any time that life depletes you, you need restoration. And restoration only comes through relationship. Mm-hmm. It was after Adam and Eve had been depleted of all their resources, they find themselves expelled from the garden. And now the Bible says, Genesis 4:1, they're out of the garden. And Adam had a relationship, knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain and says, hallelujah, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I mean, they had been kicked out of the garden. They were depleted of all their resources. But this brought happiness and joy that only life could bring. Now she was reproducing after her own kind. And she again bear his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. They both had occupations, and guess what? They both would bring forth a sacrifice unto God. They both had to labor to bring forth. That's the whole point. You've got to labor to bring forth. One tended to sheep and herded sheep. The other one tilled the ground. Then they brought their sacrifice to God. And God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice, but unto Cain's he had no respect. He brought forth the wrong sacrifice. And God told him, if you do good, then I'll accept you. If not, sin lies at the door. And God's anger, in his anger, he sent Cain out to be a vagabond and a fugitive after he slew his brother, out of the presence of the Lord. Oh, the misery. Are you with me? Oh, the misery of Adam and Eve. All of a sudden, the bringing forth. Look what happened. One son kills the other son. And Cain, they will probably see no more. He's gone. He's a fugitive and a vagabond. They're alone again. But desire, the thing the devil couldn't take away, and her desire shall be to her husband. I know that we had two sons, and I know we raised them right, and I know one of them messed up, and I know the other one's dead. I don't know where. But do you think that maybe we could? And so we read in 4:25, I'm here to tell you, anytime you've been depleted, she was depleted, through relationship you are renewed and brought whole again. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed. She knew that this seed has got to go on. It won't be through the seed of Cain that we're going to fight the enemy. It's going to be through the seed of Seth. Hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. It wasn't Eve that knew Adam. It was Adam that knew Eve. Her desire shall be to her. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. See, now we're starting something. Ooh, hallelujah. Now we're not killing each other. We're starting something. And so Adam and Eve has a seed of God. And Seth, guess what? He had a son too. And he called his name Enos. Then we got a generation going. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. It's beginning to work. Hallelujah. It's beginning to work. And now my son's calling upon the name of the Lord. And his son is calling upon the name of the Lord. And his son's son is calling upon the name of the Lord. And they're reproducing now after their own kind. So when you read Genesis 5:1, it says this is the book of the generations of Adam. Hallelujah. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. We're going to talk about a lineage now. We're going to talk about a bloodline now. We're going to talk about a seed line now. And Adam lived 130 years and he begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And Seth had a son in his own image. And Enos had a son and so forth till we get 48 generations later. Through time, a seed had a seed, and a seed had a seed, and a seed had a seed. And we come to the fulfillment of the prophecy regarding the battle of the seeds. And at the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman and made under the law. Hallelujah. And now it will be time to kick him in the head. You bruised me when we lost Cain, we lost Abel, we lost him, Cain's. You bruised me, but you didn't stop me. Hallelujah. I was delayed, but I was not denied. And now it's time to be the head of this thing. And so we look here in Matthew chapter 1:20. Oh, this is a beautiful story. I read it again. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her, relationship between God and man, that which is conceived in her, it's of me. It is of the Holy Ghost. It is the Spirit of God. It is the seed of God. Matthew 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save himself. Oh my God. He's going to save his people. Who's his people? Adam to Adam. And all of those who called upon his name. That's his people. The ones that called upon his name. It's even so today. His people are those that call upon his name. And he shall save his people from their sins. Boy, this will kick the devil in the head right here. When this man comes, he will say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Take up thy bed and walk. Woo, hallelujah. Kick the devil in the head. Too many times we let our past bring us down when the Lord is trying to restore you through relationship. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Virgin shall be with child. Doesn't make sense. Only God, only through this be done, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. I'm here to tell you God is with us this morning. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you God is in us this morning. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that God imparted his spirit in you this morning. Hallelujah. God was not against us. He is with us. Hallelujah. So I'm here to close this morning to tell you that even Mary had a conception with the Holy Ghost. And I'm here to tell you that many people think when I get the Holy Ghost, my troubles are over. I'm telling you, with sorrow you shall bring forth. You're still going to fight the enemy, but you're going to win. That's the difference. Hallelujah. It's easy to go with the flow. If you want to live in the world, the Bible says broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And straight and narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life, and few be there that find it. If you want to go with that flow, you can go, and they all end up in the same place. But if you want to live for God, you got to exit. You hear me? You got to exit. You've got to find your exit to get off where everybody else is going to say, this may not look right to them, but it is right. And I'm going to follow the straight and narrow. Few be there that find it. I'm so excited this morning for Luke and Natalie, because they're finding something that their heart's desiring. Their heart's desiring. And I taught them a little Bible study, and Brother Chris has taught them. They're going to be baptized this morning. They're just something welling up inside of them that wants more. And you know what? They want to get stable, and they want to find God, and they want to be part of God's because they're wanting to have children, you see? And when you have children, you better have your life right. You need your life right when you have children, because God expects you to raise your children to live for him. And you can't have your children living for him if you don't live for him, because they'll reproduce after your kind. So I'm excited about that this morning. God is with us. There are times in my life that I have been discouraged. Yes, I have, believe it or not. That would last about 30 minutes. And I said, get over it, get up, because there was a desire in me, just like with you, no matter what they said, no matter what they did. Well, I'll quit. I'll show them. It's like Jeremiah. I'm not going to prophesy anymore. Forget that. I'm tired of prophesying negative things to all these people. I'm just going to quit. But the Bible said there was something shut up in his bones like a fire. And he had to what? Come forth. He had to bring forth. I'm here to tell you, Christ hung on the cross because there was something in him called passion. It was easy in the garden. He could have said, oh, I don't think I'm going to do this. But passion said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He had a desire for the joy that was on the other side of the cross. I'm here to tell you, anytime you bring forth, it will deplete you. But through relationship, you will find that you can be restored. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. God bless you. Take a quick break. We'll be back for morning worship.